Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome once again to the Steve Jones Show. Steve will be back in the Sunbury Motors Studio in a second. Matter of fact, he may be there as we speak.
It's great to be back. And with everybody, thank you for all the kind words. We appreciate that very much. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Price, service mean everything to them. Auto, homeowners, business, life insurance, Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Great to be back with everybody today.
Good to have you back.
For those who don't know, my father-in-law passed away and the funeral was yesterday, so he would have been 86 next month. He was born on Veterans Day. So until he was 10 years old, he actually believed that because of his birthday, they had the day off.
That's good.
That's true. It's a true story.
We celebrate.
Yeah. It's like, hey, wow. No. Penalties handed down to the Miami. 9 scholarships, 3 each year. Frank Haith gets 5 games, a 5-game suspension at Missouri. He was the basketball coach at the time of the Nevin Shapiro situation at Miami. Frank, by the way, spent 1 year as an assistant coach here at Penn State, so I know Frank. And he gets a 5-game suspension. The penalties against Miami. First of all, they've already self-imposed 2 years' worth of bowl bans. So they did that. And remember, because they had a self-imposed bowl ban, they did not play in the ACC championship game last year, which they should have. And the reason I said that individuals are the ones in penalties in the NCAA that need to be targeted and dealt with, whether it's athlete, assistant coach, head coach, whomever, is that the ridiculousness of the sanction is that why should Al Golden have to work with one arm tied behind his back when he did nothing wrong? Why should Jim Larrañaga have to adapt and change anything with his basketball program when he did nothing wrong? That's the part that has always baffled me about NCAA sanctions, where the mess is left for somebody else to come in and clean up and put them behind the eight ball and attempt to do the job with one arm tied behind their back. And that's why individuals need to be targeted. For example, Pete Carroll. I mean, you look at Pete Carroll at USC, and you say, 10 years, can't coach in the NCAA. Now, for those who sit back and say, hey, look how great the Seahawks are playing, 5 years from now, how great will the Seahawks be? We don't know. Once they have to re-sign Russell Wilson to a bigger contract, they're going to lose their flexibility to sign people at other positions. So you see, that's how the NFL works. And maybe he gets out of coach. Who knows?
Is this more of a basketball issue than a football issue?
No, it's a far greater football issue.
A lot of people are saying football wasn't the issue.
Money to athletes was the issue. $200,000 worth. And football is the primary issue. But Haith is currently coaching. That's why you see him getting a 5-game suspension. He's currently a head coach. Randy Shannon is not currently a head coach. But Frank Haith is. 9 scholarships, 3 each year. They shouldn't get any.
So you think Miami got off easy? Is that what am I interpreting that correctly?
No, I said they shouldn't have had any sanctions.
Oh, they shouldn't have had any sanctions. Okay, thank you.
No, they should have targeted. Okay. They should have targeted those individuals involved. In other words, what in their investigation, right. whatever right. players they can confirm took money. Okay, those players should not be allowed to hold because you know many of them graduated or have left school, whatever you want to, however you want to phrase it.
Okay. Are no longer in the educational system.
Right. They should be targeted as not being allowed to garner a job in an NCAA institution for a period of time for accepting money. See what I mean? There are yes. ways of doing this where you look at, okay, who took, who didn't. Okay? What coach knew? Oh, did Al Golden know? He was at Temple. So he shouldn't have to pay the price for what, you know, for having a program run amok before him. And why should he have to pay that? Why should Jim Larrañaga have to pay a price in basketball? Jim Larrañaga has a spotless reputation. Bowling Green, George Mason, now Miami. I mean, why should they have to? I mean, but I heard something interesting today on ESPN Radio.
Okay.
Colin Cowherd said it was great that Penn State got scholarships back. After all, it's a legal issue, and the NCAA shouldn't have done anything with it. And he kind of, you know, and then he said that there's no evidence that Joe really knew anything.
Yeah, I have heard him say that.
What? That's a complete 180 from 2 years ago.
No, but I mean, I've heard him say it recently. With it since in the last couple of months, he has changed his tune. Yes.
Amazing, isn't it? Well, we'll see how it continues to play out. But I don't think. Like somebody said, oh, Miami got off lightly. Look, it's not, again, I'm not for penalizing programs unless you're looking at SMU where everybody's on the take and nobody's been changed. And that was back in the 80s.
But Steve, there's a lack of consistency with the penalties. And I think that's the root of the problem
I'm not being, I'm not lacking consistency.
No, you're not. I don't think people are complaining.
That's why they've got to stop targeting programs and start targeting individuals. If you're going to investigate. Find out who took, who didn't take. Find out who knew and who didn't know. Okay? And then look at, okay, I'm the coach. All right, I knew. Guess what? 10-year ban. You can't coach at an NCAA institution. Okay? Okay? Player. Okay? You can no longer play, and not only that, you've got a ban allowing you to get a job at an NCAA institution for a period of time. In other words, you look at them and say, hey, and it says the message to everybody. You get caught. Okay? But don't look at Al Golden and say, okay, you've got 22 scholarships instead of 25. You know, the next year, instead of 21 scholarships, you'll have 18. You know, what does that do? The entire staff, Mark D'Onofrio, Al Golden, those guys, Jim Larrañaga, the basketball coach, they shouldn't have their hands tied. Okay, they should be able to go in and run the program.
And I'm not disagreeing with you one bit. I 100% agree with you. The punishment needs to go to the right people. But the problem is the NCAA doesn't do it that way. And that's where the consistency problem comes in, because they don't do it the right way.
I'm telling you how I think they should do it, which
absolutely
is agree. To me is the right way.
No question.
Because I'm saying it straight out. They don't do it the right way. Okay, we're gonna have a television ban. Notice how television bans never come
out.
Yeah,
that
anymore.
Never happens, does it?
Okay, that never happens anymore. Bowl bans. Yeah. Guess what? There are gonna be fewer and fewer bowl bans, buddy boy. You want to know why?
Because there are too many bowls.
There are 38 bowls, and they need to fill the spots.
I mean, somebody's got to play in them.
No, I'm telling you right now, Kev. That if Penn State continues to get really good reports from George Mitchell, that's going to be lifted because they need to fill spots.
No, there's no doubt in my mind.
All right. I don't mean to be cynical here, but, you know, you have to have a brain to do this. All right. Let's take a break. Coming up next, Inside Penn State Athletics. Today, looking at Nittany Lion basketball, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2011 Ford Explorer Limited, like new, low miles, and Ford certified pre-owned, just $34,995. Clean Carfax and fully serviced 2005 Chevrolet Colorado, $11,487. This 2011 Ford F-150 XLT is one tough truck, but at a friendly price, $24,494. 2011 Dodge Nitro Heat. You'll be the second owner, just $17,995. And a gas-sipping 2012 Ford Focus with lots of remaining warranty, $12,495. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KrotzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
No, they need to just rip up the rule book and college sports start all over again. It's going to take a long time. But I'd like to see athletic directors and coaches get highly involved and take time and put together a rule book that makes sense for the 21st century.
You know, Steve, that's something that really bothers me at any level of scholastic or collegiate athletics. When, and please, I don't want anybody to take offense to this, but when the superintendents or the presidents of universities are involved, I think that's not always a good thing to have just that group involved and not the athletic directors of or at the high school or college level, because they're the ones in the day-to-day process. And I think it's good to have them in there because they give you a different perspective.
Yeah. I think you need to have coaches and athletic directors involved. What makes sense? What makes sense in today's social media world? Okay, when these rules were put together, things like Twitter and Facebook and so forth were not, weren't even thought of. Now there have been adaptations to the rule about texting and so forth, but I think you now need to sit down, rip the whole thing up, start all over again. There are certain things you can't do. You can't give student athletes cash. You can't, they're basics, but they have to start over again. And then how you penalize, bowl bans, TV bans, scholarships, blah, 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 blah. Knock it off. If you're going to sit there and have an investigative body, put some money into it and have an investigative body. Have them come in. Take a long look at what's going on. Okay? Get it from both sides. Make a decision. But you penalize the individuals. Frank Haith got a 5-game suspension from Missouri. He was the basketball coach of Miami. Okay. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Frank Haith ends up being the one suspended. Jim Larrañaga doesn't have one arm tied behind his back. Yet the inconsistency is that Al Golden has one arm not quite tied behind his back because it's 3 scholarships a year, but has at least his fingers tied together. And he did nothing.
Well, and he's had a penalty assessed before that as well by the university.
Well, the university self-imposed a 2-year bowl ban, which also included the ACC championship game last year. All right. And he knew going into it that's what they wanted to do. And the university did the right thing. They handled it the right way. One of the reasons why USC has been hit as hard as they've been hit is that they appealed. And with the idea that we're going to stockpile as many players as possible during the appeals process, NCAA didn't like that.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Kratzer Insurance. Located in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. And on this Tuesday, we're joined by the head coach of the Bucknell Bison, Joe Susan. Joe, I like math, and I like when 2 plus 2 equals 4. Let's see. Kevin doesn't make trip.
Did I tell you, Joe?
Comes back with win.
Kevin wanted to fly up, and I told him that our charter only taxis, and he looked at me funny, and then he caught on.
2 days later?
Yeah, exactly. I saw him hitching up Route 15, and he should know better than a hitchhike nowadays.
I didn't get very far, I'll tell you that.
Nobody's going to pick you up.
I said to Joe before he went on the air, I said, now listen, I just want you to know that the win had nothing to do with me because I was there for the Marist game as well. So that's not it.
Well, if you've played baseball, as much baseball as I've played, you become very superstitious regardless. And there are certain things that we do. I know it doesn't mean anything, but it does to us.
Sometimes, Joe, you got to travel light. I'll just leave it at that. Oh. All right, so I want to talk about the defense, first of all, because Dartmouth came in. They've been cranking it up about 500 a game. You gave up 252 in this game, Joe. What did you see in a team defense that made a big difference?
Sean Sellers coming back really helped us. You know, he made the first play as a tackle for loss, and then he hit the quarterback in the middle of the chest. And I think it really upped the level of everybody on that field. But what it did, too, was it enabled us to play Demetrius Baldwin where he should play inside. And they were challenged by Sean on the outside and Tracy Smith on the inside and really had trouble with those kids. And, you know, rarely can a team sit and play defense. Some of the Miami teams in the early 2000s were able to do that. But nowadays, the way offenses are, you've got to move your defense around. And we did that. We frustrated their quarterback with different looks and different pressures, and it really impacted them trying to run the ball, obviously, but also really impacted the time that he had to throw the football. And that's one of the better things we did defensively in the second half is we possessed the ball for 20 minutes with our offense. And yeah, your defense is best when it's watching.
No question. And the next part is by getting Sellers back. Of course, you mentioned the domino effect of now playing guys in their proper spots, but did it keep Dartmouth from doubling, for example, a Tracy Smith because of Sellers' presence?
They actually single block Sellers all day, much to their chagrin. And
why?
We did some things with Tracy where we moved him from a head up on the center to an outside of the guard the run. And that became a single team, and he on his sack fumble, that's what happened. And then they had trouble with the movement, as with kids like that, with kids like Sellers, even Demetrius and Tracy Smith. Those are kids that are athletic enough to be high school linebackers, and then we just feed them, and they wind up coming in and being very good defensive linemen. And that's the way we want to play defense here.
No question about that. Now, the next part is the two quarterbacks. What did it mean to see R.J. Nitti lead a touchdown drive like that in the road?
Well, he didn't.
Oh, okay.
he led a drive that wound, it was a good drive, wound up with a missed field goal.
Oh, got it. Sorry.
But I had this feeling in pregame about what I felt our defense would be able to do and how Brandon would fit in terms of ball security.
Right.
And Brandon, you know, experience means so much, and he knows better than to try to force throws. RJ Nitti's getting better with that. But I had this gut feeling that kept gnawing at me in pregame, and I went over to Brandon a couple times in pregame. I said, and if you know Brandon, you'll understand where I'm coming from. I said, what do you think? Are you ready to play? And he kind of looks at me and goes, yeah. So I'm like, I'd like a little bit more enthusiasm there, buddy. And but I just, after our second possession where we ran two screens that they did a good job of covering and what we tell our quarterbacks to do, throw it away. And he held on to it. I figured it was time to put Brandon in. One of the things, too, that Dartmouth didn't do much of going in and didn't do much of when they played us, they're not a big-time pressure defense. So I knew that he would be able to see, we would be able to protect, and he would be smart with the football, and he was.
You were 8 of 19 on third down, the difference that makes.
It certainly does, and part of that is what you're doing on first and second down. You know, the
you're on schedule.
And,
yeah,
third and manageable is so much easier than third and 10. And we mixed it too between the run and pass on first and second down. Will Carter, another freshman, had an outstanding game. He's getting better every time he's out on the field. We did convince him to hold on to the ball this weekend, and he is just so fast that, and he doesn't look it because he's so smooth. We got over the top of the defense once, then they did what they're taught to do. They held him, and we got a 15-yard penalty out of that. And then we put a field goal on the board. We drove down to the 7-yard line, and Brandon scrambled. We got called for holding. I thought they would give us a fourth down. They wound up giving us a third down at the 15. And that one of the plays that changes the game is Matt Del Muro ran, we call it a sprint draw. He ran a sprint draw, and he ran right into the end zone. And that gave us the lead, and then a sack fumble. And the very next play, C.J. Williams ran over the free safety. He was a good player. And it was great to see what he did to the free safety because that kid's head went back. And he put the ball on the ground afterwards. He left the ball in the end zone, and he caught a little hell from me coming off the sideline. You hand the ball to the official. But then we made it interesting in the end.
No question. I want to talk about Will Carter for a moment. Part of what you do with him is you use him on that wide-out screen.
Yeah.
What kind of feel does a player have to have on a wide-out screen, a real feel for what's in front of him?
Well, the quarterback makes the decision on that. It's really a read between a run play and that throw.
Right.
And if the numbers are correct, he's going to take the throw. And number one, Will's got to count on his buddy out there to make a block. And, you know, receivers all go to the same blocking camp in the summer where they stand around smoking cigarettes. And actually, our kids did a pretty good job on the outside. And what we've tried to tell Will, just catch it and go. And if you make one guy miss, it's going to lead to big yardage. If we even shield a guy on the outside, it's going to be like a run play, a 5-yard, an 8-yard run play, which really impacts you primarily on first and second down. And the kid's done a great job. There were some catches that he made that, and he makes them effortlessly down by his shoelaces. And, you know, we try to get the quarterback to hit him right in the face mask, but sometimes it doesn't work that way. And he transitioned into being a runner where early in the year in practice, he'd try to make 5 different moves. And when you make that many moves, the Army catches up to you.
Yeah,
he's getting a lot better. People are going to have a trouble justifying playing a single safety against us, knowing that Will Carter's on the field.
Yeah, makes a big difference. And speed, Can't teach that one.
No.
So
that
makes
a
big difference.
Donner, Kevin Donner, our track coach, comes to our luncheons and try to keep him away from Will Carter.
It's homecoming coming up this weekend, and yet Lehigh at 1 o'clock. Tell us a little bit about what Lehigh brings to the table.
They're one of the more explosive offenses that we've seen. Their quarterback, Biakowski, big lefty senior, has done a great job within their passing game. And one of the things that we are going to work to do is to try to keep him off the field with our offense. Their defense has given up over 422 yards a game. They try to put you in positions where you make mistakes in down and distance or with the football, and they just turn it over to their offense. But they are the combination of their quarterback, Biakowski, their running back, Keith Sherman, who's a load. He's a 5'11", 215-pounder. They use him well within their spread offense. And then they've really had a receiver that has – he's a bigger kid, Lee Kerfus, 6'2", 190, who really took up where Ryan Spadola, the kid's playing for the Jets, left off. And they're one of the more potent offenses that we'll see.
One quick note on your previous game, the win over Dartmouth. Obviously, you want more takeaways on your side, but what did it mean in the outcome of the game that your ball security meant only one turnover on your side?
That was so important to us. And, you know, obviously the turnover that we had was on a punt return on a kid that we really trust with the ball. He just tried to make one extra move, and he got hit in the ball. But that is so important, and that has really been something that we've preached and – you know, preaching it and backing it up are two different things. And, you know, for a while there during the stretch between the Cornell game and the Holy Cross game, we were turning the ball over at, unfortunately, a record pace. And that's one of the reasons I put Brandon Wesley back in, and that knowing that he understands that throwing the ball away isn't a bad thing. And, you know, our backs did a great job, both Matt Del Muro and C.J. Williams. And some of that has to do with the maturation of the kids up front. They're, you know, we're playing with two freshmen, a sophomore, and two juniors, and we like to give them the ball.
Joe, congrats on the win. Homecoming,
Steve.
1 o'clock, Lehigh, Saturday at Mathewson. Look forward to it.
I'm sorry about the loss of your father-in-law. And
thank you, Joe.
I know that it's tough, but we're all heading there somewhere.
Yeah. Big sports fan. Big sports fan, Joe. Loved football tremendously. Thanks so much.
He's got a great seat right now.
He sure does.
Thanks, Steve. Take care,
Thanks,
Kevin.
Joe. Yep.
Thanks, Coach.
Bye. All right. So, again, I think Coach and I properly tagged exactly what, you know, what your role was in it.
You know, Lehigh averages about 79 to 80 plays a game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I've watched them a couple of times this year.
Yeah, pace is important to them.
Oh, man, is pace important to them. And here's the problem as well, and Princeton knows this very well. You can have them by three scores going into the second half and still lose the game.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done that a lot this year.
Yeah, no, exactly right. I mean, that's so. But good homecoming matchup. Hopefully, you know, the alumni come back in droves, and not just come back in droves at the campus. I hope they come back in droves and get over to the football stadium and watch this team play. I mean, I think that's a big part of this. You know, the football alumni coming back, big part of it. But the alumni on campus and all the wonderful things that Bucknell does on campus. Now I hope they make it down there, because I think that's a beautiful stadium down there. And, you know, it's a big win they're coming off of against Dartmouth. First time they've beaten an Ivy League team in a couple of years, which is great. And now let's see if they can make a big step here with Lehigh coming up. All right, come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, more off-air complaints about his kid. All right, today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance. I mean, do you whine to him about what he does as much as you want? Oh, my goodness. I've got it on tape here.
He's talking about what he did on the on the chance to make a tackle, what he didn't do, and blah blah. I said, "Jeez, oh,
kept
man.
Saying, what are you? How are you going to do let that if the, I make a tackle?" I said, "Well, make one.
Let the little dude have fun. Let him play.
Well, at least he's having fun."
Look, I mean, look, I've seen him. All right, okay. High school is the last level he's ever playing at.
That's
all right,
very true.
Okay,
and he'll be the first to admit that.
Well, then let him enjoy it. I mean, you know, stop trying. Don't live your life through him.
Are you saying that I'm living vicariously through my son?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, I'm saying it directly. I mean, it's not like I'm not saying it to your face. It's not like I'm saying it behind your back. You can't believe it. Because look at the whole audience, you're doing it.
Can't say I can deny that. No.
Oh, like. I mean, every time I turn around, I get an evaluation. I mean, text message, phone call, show, it doesn't matter.
Well, I'm looking for some in-depth insight. I mean, you've been around the game for how long? I figured maybe some of that can rub off and I could pass along some wisdom. Your wisdom is just go make the tackle. Thanks, that was deep.
Let him have fun. Let him enjoy it. He's going to look back on this and have a great time, except for the time he had dealing with you.
Football was great, except when we had to watch film for 3 hours.
You shouldn't watch film with them at all.
No. That's a bonding moment. I like watching film with him.
Ask him if it's bonding for him.
Listen.
No.
You know my kid. No, what would he be doing if he wasn't watching film?
Probably playing a video
game.
There
you go. But it ain't a football video game either.
But he's also an A student.
Yes, he is.
Okay, so let's not portray him as a deadbeat
that's playing video games. No.
He is an A student that's going to be able to get into a lot of colleges.
Well, he better.
Okay? And he has high aspirations. At the same time, you know, he wakes up every single day wondering, you know, where you're going to crush him next.
I just want him to be prepared.
For what?
Listen, life isn't going to pat you on the back every 5 seconds.
I said let him have a good time with it. He has coaches.
Life isn't going to come up and say, you know what? That's a great effort. And then leave it at that. I say, that's a great effort, but here's how you finish it off.
That's a great effort, but.
No, I didn't say but. I said, here's how you finish it off.
No, that's not what you said.
I said, that's a great effort. Here's how you finish it off.
No, you said this was your quote. That's a great effort, but here's how you finish it off. That's exactly how you said it.
I don't remember hearing the but. I'm going to have to rewind this. I don't remember hearing the but.
Go ahead. Rewind it. Okay? Rewind it. Okay? The audience is sitting there right now. They're saying, yeah, good one, Steve.
After the segment, I'm going to go back to the tape.
Rewind it. I invite you to rewind it.
I will. I'm going to. In three minutes, I'm going to.
I encourage you to go right back to the beginning and rewind it.
I will.
All right? And then you're going to go, oh.
I will replay it to prove who's right.
He has coaches.
Wait. You mean to tell me with none of your kids, none of them, you did not want to give them a little extra push, a little extra motivation, nothing like that?
Every time my sons play, whether it was basketball or football, I always locked in and watched them play, okay?
When
the game was over with, I just told them how proud I was of them.
You didn't give them any advice along the way? You didn't?
No, never. Not one time. They have coaches.
I still think I'm wrong.
No, I never did. Not one time did I ever say, hey, you ought to do this or you ought to do that. But, you know, no, they may look at me and say, you know, what about that play? I'm like, you know, the other guy did this, this, and this. I mean, but that's no way. I always told him I was proud of him and I thought, you know.
Now, I've never said that I wasn't proud of him. I've never said that you stunk or anything like that. I've never been negative. But I have been supportive and a little bit, you know.
Destructive. All right, so.
Oh, that's it. I'm done.
You know, play the tape back. Mr. Your Great Butt.
I don't know. I'll have to see if I said that.
It's right there at the beginning.
Okay.
Hey, It shouldn't take you long to play it back. Like, but. You know, look, I just felt my role was that I supported them. They have coaches that coach them and tell them what they're doing wrong and right all the time. They don't need me to step in there and do that. I don't know the concept of the offense. I don't know the concept of what the defense happens to be or whatever and how it fits into the grand scheme of where they're supposed to be. Coach knows that. I don't. All right? I'm not at practice or any of that stuff where I can take a long look at it. You know, there's certain times in life where you're the professional and you're deeply involved, and there's the other part where you're the parent. And I also felt one of the most important things I did was a parent was also support the other players on the team and support what they were doing and be supportive of the other parents.